Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
How many of you love worshiping Jesus? Half of you. What about the other half? How many of you love worshiping Jesus? How many of you know that worshiping Jesus is one of the most important things you can do?
That's right. Yes.
The word worship means to bow self down. It means to fall prostrate before whatever it is you're worshiping. And when you bow self down, or when you fall prostrate before him, or before whatever you're worshiping, because many people worship many things out there, we worship Jesus, right? But when you bow down, what you're basically saying is, to whatever it is you're worshiping, you are greater. And I humble myself and I lower myself before the one who is greater. Amen. And what we're doing when we worship is we're bowing our thinking, our opinions, our thoughts, our mind, our motives, attitudes, desires, our bodies, our emotions. We're bowing everything down. Because worship is more than singing a song, isn't it? It's more than reading something off a screen with a bit of music. Songs are great because they help us to focus on who God is. Worship is an invitation to know him. And as we worship, God wants to reveal aspects of his nature and his character to us. When he reveals an aspect of his nature and his character to us, it's an invitation to know him. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, when you read how they lived, they often knew the works and the acts of God. When you see how he provided and how he did miracles, the Israelites knew the acts and the works of God. But often they didn't go beyond that to really know who he is. In Exodus 33, with Moses, it's the chapter where he has the conversation with God, and he says, unless you go with us, I do not want to go.
Right.
And God says to him, I will be with you. But Moses, in verse 13, in the midst of that, he says, teach me your ways so that I may know you. The Israelites often stopped at the works and the acts of God, but Moses wanted to know the ways of God. And then in verse 18 of Exodus 33, he then says to the Lord, after the Lord says, I'll be with you, I'll go with you, you know, and all of that, he then says, show me your glory. Show me who you are. God wants to reveal his nature and character to us. It's an invitation then to know him in that way. We're looking at, over this period of time, spiritual formation. And what does it look like to mature, to grow, to develop spiritually in our lives? We've been looking at different, in one sense, disciplines, and all of these things are how Jesus lived. submission a few weeks ago, Jesus constantly submitted himself to the Father. I only want to do what I see you doing. I only want to say what I hear you saying. What was he saying? Father, I want to keep in step with you. I want to stay submit and surrender to your heart, your mind, your will, your motives, your compassion, your love, your... The focus, as you probably guessed today, is worship. Wanting to be a worshiper. The world needs to know the works and the acts of God. That's one way in which he reveals who he is. But the world will experience the works and the acts of God through a people who know God. And it's the people that know who God is that see God at work. We've heard this phrase many, many times here, that everything in our lives flows from our relationship with him.
Amen.
So we're just gonna unpack a few verses and just read through. I'll do quite a bit of reading through the word in the next few minutes to partly remind us, and maybe for some, you might not have heard this before, what does it really mean to worship? And we know that worship is more than being in a meeting of some sort, whether like this or in a group or in an encounter night. We know that worship is more than just that expression. It's how we live our lives that ultimately is worship to the Lord. What we do in secret when nobody's around, that's all part of, you know, are we worshiping the Lord with our minds, emotions and our will, our body and our lives? Because it's a relationship that's 24/7. But we also know there's an act of worship in that sense, or a way in which we worship Jesus by acknowledging who he is and we bring ourselves before him. When I was away on holiday, I got up one morning and because of the time change going that way, you wake up really early for the first, well, I think the whole holiday this time. It never seemed to change for me, but certainly the first few days, you're waking up at like 4 a.m, you know, 4:30, but you're wide awake. And just because of the time change. But it was great to be wide awake and get up. And it's such a beautiful area where we go to. So I'd just go for a walk for an hour. And the sun might be coming up or just come up or whatever. And it was sunny every day, just to let you know. It was beautiful. But just going on a walk with the Lord. The Lord started to talk to me about knowing him and knowing his ways. And part of that is to just worship him and be consumed with him. And even, you know, there was nobody around at that time of the morning, walking along. And so I wasn't walking along like this, going down the street, you know, necessarily, but just that walking, worshiping, engaging with him. And it's like, Father, I want to be filled with you. I want to know you. And I didn't have this I didn't have today in mind at all. I only thought about this yesterday once we got home. But just this, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I don't want you just to do things for me And that's the level of my relationship or the depth of it. But I want to know you. And a few days later, I flicked on YouTube, and most mornings I listen to some message or whatever. When I'm getting up, getting ready, I stick something on, and quite often it's Bill Johnson that I listen to, and he's got some amazing revelation. And because the Lord had been talking to me about knowing him, and out of that, the works and the acts of God flowing out of knowing him, I said to him, I'm going to flick on YouTube, but would the first thing that comes up be something you want to talk to me about? And the first thing that came up at the top of YouTube was a Bill Johnson message and whatever the title was. And I thought, that sounds like it's going to be quite relevant. Press play, turned it up quite loud, and got in the shower, and I could hear it, you know, and then got out and I was getting ready and this message. And it was all about knowing him. Not just the works and the acts of God, but knowing him and responding to the invitation to know his nature and his character. And it was like, Clive, if you need healing, yes, I can heal you, but I want you to live in health and wholeness.
Yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Yes, I am your provider.
Yeah.
But I want you to live, in my provision constantly.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, whether it's a provision of wisdom or a provision of discernment or a provision of something, whatever it might be some material thing, whatever. I want you to know me as provision in your life. The provision of peace, so that you live in a place of rest and peace. And this message, it was a fantastic message that some of the things I've shared sort of came out of that. And you know, when you spend time worshiping, you got to give a little bit of time. That when you spend time worshiping him, you find yourself being captured by him.
Yeah.
We can rush in and out of time with the Lord, can't we? Well, I've got a few minutes. I'll just quickly read a bit and say a few things and you're brilliant, and then get on with the day and all of that. But sometimes it takes a little bit of time to be captured. And part of the spiritual formation in our lives is to spend time just worshiping him. There's a lot of pulls on our time. I haven't got my phone up here, but that little thing that we can hold in our hands, that has a lot of pulling power. Does anybody else find that?
Yes.
You know? And we need to keep it in its place. That it doesn't run our lives.
Yeah.
It doesn't take our attention.
Yeah.
And it's, or, you know, it, and switch it off, turn it off, or put it, leave it somewhere else.
Yeah.
When you're spending time with the Lord, you know. And I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. In reading some of this stuff, in terms of reading the Word this morning, what God has done to enable us to be a worshiper and to cultivate being a worshiper in our lives. You see, whatever you focus on, you magnify.
Yeah. It's true.
Whatever you focus on, you magnify. One of the things that we're quite aware of when you go to the States is how much people talk about sickness and all the medical care they have and all the insurance for this, that and the other, and how many people are constantly going to this or that or the other to get help for this, that or the other, the amount of medication people are on, and you're just in conversation, and we found ourselves, you know, it's like, wow, what you focus on, you magnify, and it becomes huge in people's lives. And it's like, have you ever thought about Jesus being your health and wholeness? Have you ever thought that he could heal? Have you ever thought about maybe focusing on some things in the Word that would help to magnify who he is in the midst of this circumstance, so that you're not magnifying sickness? Because whatever you focus on and magnify, that's where you'll live.
That's true. That's true.
And if you focus on sickness and magnify it, you'll stay sick.
Yes.
If you focus on a problem and you magnify it, you'll stay in the problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we deny the realities of a situation, but we have to also magnify who God is in the midst of situations. Yeah. And often that happens when we worship him. When we acknowledge who he is and we begin to declare something of his nature and his character that are greater than the practical, the physical, the facts of a situation. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. This is Ezekiel prophesying about the cross and about what God's going to do in the future. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Why was God saying that to Ezekiel? Because the people in their own strength couldn't walk with him, couldn't keep the ways of God. And God knew ultimately, in order to know him and to walk with him in that way, he was going to need to be in us by his Spirit. And so the cleansing from sin in verse 25 comes through repentance. Verse 26, the new heart and new spirit in them is salvation. And then in verse 27, when he then says, I will put my spirit in you, that relates to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Jesus is spoken about here in Ezekiel 36 and what God's going to accomplish on the cross to make it possible for us to be in relationship with him, but then make it possible for us to become a worshiper. Somebody who acknowledges who God is. Somebody who worships and exalts who he is. What you give your time to, you'll give your heart to. What you give your time to generates desire and a hunger for whatever those things are in life. And how do you keep everything in life in perspective, in right order? We have to start with who God is. And we start with acknowledging him and worshiping him, because when you magnify him, and we cultivate this daily, we find our hearts being captured by him. And you know, when your heart is captured by him, other things can't have the same attention, place, or even grip on our hearts and our lives. When we acknowledge who he is and we worship him. When we also acknowledge and we worship him, it puts those things in place and in perspective. Let's just read on. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Yeah. Wow. Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, but yet never sinned. It says in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 10 or 1 Corinthians 10, that whenever we are tempted, we can't be tempted beyond what we can bear, because God always provides a way out from under it. Because we have His Holy Spirit in us, in any given moment, we have what we need to not succumb to temptation or to be led in a certain way. And how did Jesus keep all of that in perspective? Because if He was tempted in the same way as we are, then He faced the same choices as we face to make a decision to either go that way or go this way. And notice how often through the Gospels, Jesus, He went off on His own to pray, or He found a place on His own. Why? Because He wanted to make sure He kept everything in perspective, everything in its right place. He wanted to make sure, knowing the pressures of the day, the temptations He was faced with. Sometimes we can think that Jesus lived slightly a couple of feet off the ground, you know, like, do, 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 do. You know, He was Jesus. He was the Holy One. He was, of course, you know, but yet He was tempted just as we are. Yeah. And He knew to keep everything in right place. I need to focus on the Father. Amen. I need to give time to cultivate relationship with Him to keep everything in perspective, so that the pressure of the people, the demands of life, the temptations coming from the enemy through people to sin, to get angry, to get annoyed, to respond in a lustful way or a greedy way or a selfish way, whatever it might have been, even in the midst of all the miracles, I mean, people getting raised from the dead, limbs growing, eyes appearing, I mean, the temptation to get prideful, wow, look at what I've just done, look at, you know, this, that and the other, but yet He constantly went to the Father saying, Father, I exalt You, I surrender. Why? To keep everything in its right place. And He's gone before us as our great high priest to open up the way so that we can then boldly and confidently come before Him. Let's look at Hebrews 10 and then we're going to just pray together. These verses are amazing. Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 23. I was going to read the whole thing, the whole chapter, but we haven't got time. But 19 onwards, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Wow. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from every sin. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from condemnation. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from being unworthy. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from being unacceptable to God. The blood of Jesus has enabled us to be forgiven of every sin, dealt with every pain and shame, and dealt with everything that could separate us from Him. And it talks about here being, it's the blood of Jesus being sprinkled with the blood of Jesus that gives us confidence and boldness to approach the throne of grace in relationship to Him, but also as we worship Him, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God because of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and purifies us from every sin, every negativity, from every lie of the enemy, every seduction, everything that would want to keep us away. It says here, that we have confidence to enter the most holy place by a new and living way opened up through the curtain, that is His body. So when He died on the cross, the curtain between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was torn in two, and the way was opened up. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, the Holy Spirit. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Just quickly, the tabernacle which God first gave them when they were going through the wilderness, gave them the tabernacle. It had an outer court, an inner court, which was called the holy place. Then it had the Holy of Holies. And the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies because it was the presence of God. Then when the temple was built, same three areas, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. And people would come into the outer court, into the temple, and it was a place of preparation, a place of cleansing, like preparing to come with a sacrifice. And people would come with a sacrifice. It would be given to the priest. The priest would then go into the inner court and the animal would be sacrificed and the blood would be put on an altar there and it would be like a sin offering. But then there was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he would offer a sacrifice on behalf of the sins of all the people, but he could only go in once a year. The amazing thing that God has done is he's come to live in us so that we all become living stones. And together we are the temple of God, where God inhabits, abides, and lives in us. And so that worship no longer has to go to a place, a building, or whatever it is, but because we've become the place of worship. You and I have become the place of habitation, that God doesn't live in a building. He doesn't live in a box, the tabernacle, any longer. He lives in people. He lives, we know he's bigger than that, and he's greater than that, but how he comes to us now is to live in us, and we become a habitation of God. And we cultivate that partly by worshiping him and who he is. Let's stand together. You're a living stone. Romans 12:1, the Apostle Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. In chapter 4 of John, Jesus meets the woman at the well. They get into a conversation. He asks her for a drink and she doesn't understand what he's talking about. She thinks natural water. He's thinking spiritual water. And in that conversation, he says, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Just close your eyes for a moment. We don't have to come through an outer court, an inner court, and go through a process to come into the Holy of Holies. God lives in each one of us by his Spirit. He has made you a throne room person. He has made you a Holy of Holies person. You have his Spirit within you. You have the Holy One on the inside of you. He has made you a place of habitation for who he is, for his presence, for his glory, so that he can reveal his nature and his character to you, in you, and therefore through you, so that you can know him. And by faith, we approach the throne of grace. So as you stand before Him, just close your eyes for a moment. And I just want to encourage you again, just lift your hands for a moment and just be with Him. Be with Him. The Bible says that we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. There is a biblical pattern. When we come before Him, we're thanking Him. Father, I thank You for who You are. Thank You that You are the living God. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for all that You've done for me. We're coming with a heart of thanksgiving, and as we're thanking Him, we're praising Him. We're acknowledging who He is. We're lifting Him up. We're focusing on Him to magnify who He is in our lives. And we magnify Him by thanking Him for who He is and all that He's done, by praising Him for who He is. And we move from thanksgiving to praise into a place of adoration and worship, where we become consumed with Him, filled with Him, and the gaze of our hearts and our mind and our lives is fixed on Him, and everything else comes into perspective then, because we've been captured by Him. Father, I thank You that You have put Your Spirit in us to enable us to be people that worship You in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to Jesus. He will always lead you into the truth. Always. He'll always confirm the Word of God, because He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of the Word. He's the Spirit of Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit is the most amazing worshiper in the, you know, and He enables us to be worshipers, because the Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus, will remind us who He is, will tell us of who He is, so that we lift our hands, we lift our hearts, we bow our lives, and we acknowledge who You are, Father, because You are the most awesome, amazing, wonderful Father, the most majestic living God there. There is. You're the only way. And our hearts are captured with Him. So maybe just say to the Lord before we come to a close this morning, Father, I want to know You. Father, I want to know You. Father, I want to know. Like Moses said to You, show me Your way so that I may know You. Now show me Your glory. Reveal who You are to me. Father, I want to know You. I want to know You more than I know anybody else. I want to walk with You closer than I walk with anybody else. I want to know You. Anybody here this morning? Anybody? This is your heart. This is your longing. I want to know You. I want to know You. Father, I thank You that You're forming us as a people that know You. And in that knowing, those that know Him will do mighty exploits. We'll see the works and the acts of God take place. So, Father, I thank You. I praise Your awesome name. We just ignore, just lift your voice for a moment. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Just thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for who He is. Psalm 63:4. I will praise You as long as I live. As long as I live. And in Your name I will lift up my hands. Psalm 98:4. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. And Psalm 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. There are times to shout, be joyful, and to praise. There are times to bow down and worship. All of them are expressions of being a worshiper. Father, we praise You, we acknowledge You, And we thank you for who you are. In your mighty name. Everybody worshipped him and said, Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Just want to encourage you. Just want to encourage you. Take time every day. Just take time. Make the time. Make the time to just worship him. If it helps to put a song on that helps you worship him, but mate, put songs on that are singing about him, yes. Not about us. Yes. You know, who he is, yes. And that helps you go that way. Amen. All right? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you guys, Claire.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.